The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
How many, and you're in church, so don't lie. I mean, lying is not good, and church is not good at all. After the worship we just had, don't lie. No, but how many have found you are more aware of your joy barometer? How many of you found that you've just been more aware that joy, and again, we're not talking about happiness, but joy is really up to you. And you can choose to put on joy. In reality, you're putting on Christ, I suppose. But the Bible talks a lot about putting on. And I don't think it means fake it, although I do think there are times when we do fake it. I think there are times when we put on the garment of praise, even when we don't feel like putting on the garment of praise. But eventually, it becomes a part of us, and the spirit of heaviness lifts. There's a scripture that says, first comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. And I suppose that has lots of implications. But part of the implication to that scripture, I believe, is sometimes we're required to do that which we can do in the natural in order for the spiritual to take place. Even this morning, with the worship and the flow, there was the spiritual reality of the presence of God being in the room and wanting to allow us to eat at his banqueting table, if you want to use that analogy, or to allow us to have the splinters removed from the yoke, to have the yoke removed and the splinters. All of those are just analogies. You do know there's no yoke, right? But there is. They're all spiritual truths that are highlighted by natural pictures, word pictures. But in order, I suspect some of us received this morning, and maybe some of us didn't. And the part that was our part was to receive. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. If anyone thirsts, let them drink. And so there's always the natural. Even in, if you're here this morning and you have a need, there is a responsibility that you have, and there's a responsibility that God has. And God is always waiting for us to make our move. Did you know that? It's your move. And I'm not suggesting that you haven't been moving or aren't moving. I'm just reminding us that at the cross, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." What was finished? His part. That's right. For all eternity, his part was finished. And there may be things now that we need to do, whether you need healing in this morning, no matter what it is, no matter what we need, we have a responsibility to do our part, and God will do his. Amen. And so it is with joy. And so we do have a responsibility. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3 through verse 12. I want to just, before I begin to read, we're going to read this text and then we'll go through it again verse by verse. But before we do, before I read it, I just want to let you know that you're going to run into a couple of phrases in the text this morning. In verse 6, Peter's going to write about greatly rejoicing. In verse 8, he's going to talk about rejoicing with a joy that is inexpressible. And so when we see that, we want to see, okay, so how? Why? We want to look at the words written around that to discover what is he going to talk about? Joy inexpressible. Do you know what joy inexpressible looks like? You ready? Were you expecting more? Most people are. In fact, I suspect when we started this series, we were all expecting something totally different than what we're getting. I was. I thought we were going to have a party. And we, yeah, thank you, Dave. Pastor Dave says, we still might, and we still might. But the reality is, and I know you don't know this, but, oh, I haven't seen that kind. You guys seen these? These are amazing. I'm serious. How many of you remember the old top? And how quick it would quit spinning. These will spin. It's like they do quit, but I've tested them. They go a long time. They are amazing. I bet you think I don't know where I was going, don't you? I don't, but I'm getting there as I talk to you. See, that's what I was going to tell you. Lots of people, you're going to learn this as you grow older, lots of people think that everything from God is and it's not. God's got a secret, and it's him. There is a joy that is inexpressible. There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a knowing of a love that you cannot know. The Bible is full of tensions. The Bible invites us into things and then tells us you can't get there. God's amazing. We were singing about it earlier. He's good. So let's read, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching for what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and of the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. In verse 3, he talks about an abundant mercy. I want to remind you again, I want to remind us again, of the pit from which you were dug. And I realize some of you that maybe grew up in the church feel like you grew up on the shelf of righteousness, just waiting for God to discover you. But that's not true. You're a rascal. You maybe did not get the opportunity, like some of us did, to discover just what a rascal we were, because you've been blessed. Yeah, some of you have been blessed to grow up, you, in the church. And you've maybe never had the opportunity to see the depravity to which a human being can sink to. Even a real sweet human being like you or me. Well, I am. Sweet, I mean. I had a teacher tell me once, "You are the nicest student and the meanest student I have ever had." She said the nicest. She said that after I jokingly asked her to come to the prom with me. I think I got to her heart. But anyway. But we have been, you and I, to you and I has been extended an abundant mercy. Some of us know that more than others. Some of us know what we were apart from God, and some of us maybe never, by the grace of God, never had to experience getting away from God very far. But the truth is, we all need a Savior, and we all needed mercy, and we all have received an abundance of mercy. One of the reasons that your testimony and my testimony is so powerful is it puts on display the mercy of God. Not just the mercy, but at the foundation, the mercy of God. Yeah. Remember, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is the withholding of punishment. Grace is the extension of blessing. Two different things. They're always side by side, but they are different. When my son John took our pickup and got it stuck in the back lot back here, mercy was he got to live. That's mercy. Grace was I helped him get it out. Very simple. And now I owe him $5 because I used his name in a sermon. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to do a little bit of a commercial here. If you were not here on Easter Sunday, I encourage you to get the message that Pastor Dave preached on the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Excellent message on how the resurrection of Jesus Christ translate to my resurrection in taking me from a place of needing an abundant mercy to walking in a newness of life. So I highly recommend that message, and that will help me not have to spend much time here on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. On those days when you have a bad day, I want to suggest that part of what Peter is saying, on those days when you have a bad day, you can find joy in the fact that you have been extended a great abundant mercy has been extended to you, and you're going to heaven. I think that sometimes we don't give enough attention to the fact that we're going to heaven. There is a heaven. Now, you can't talk about darkness without talking about light. You can't talk about good without talking about evil. And you can't talk about heaven without talking about hell. Both are a reality. And in our modern day, and even in church culture, we have diminished the importance of heaven and hell. Both are very real. Now, Peter is writing this, and he talks about an inheritance being kept for us in heaven, and he's not speaking as Peter, the little Jewish boy, because he didn't learn that from the Torah. He didn't learn it in the Jewish culture. There was a little bit of talk about heaven, but very little. There wasn't much details about heaven or hell in the Old Testament. There wasn't really much about it. But Peter had been with Jesus, and Jesus talked about heaven a lot, and he talked about hell a lot. And so Peter has been educated by Jesus concerning this subject of heaven and hell. Did you know that you have a lot to do with what heaven is like for you? You do too. In fact, I believe that we now, in these days in which we're living, in these years in which we're living, are establishing our heaven. That's why I said somewhat jokingly, but the reality is what is precious to you here, I mean that which is wholesome and right and precious to you here, will probably be a part of your heaven. That's why I believe when we get there, we'll know each other. I believe we'll celebrate together. I believe we'll know those who we loved and who have gone on before us. See, Jesus said it this way. He said, don't lay up treasure on earth, where moth can get it and rust. He said, no, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. You and I can, we've already got an inheritance in heaven. We just read that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can add to that inheritance. We need to know that. Now, some of you are thinking, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Rest. No striving. I think as we walk and follow Jesus and do what he's called us to do, as we raise our kids, have our families, have awesome homes and marriages and all of that is investing in heaven. All of that is laying up treasure in heaven. You moms, this afternoon, you change a dirty diaper, treasure in heaven. You dads, this afternoon, you'd like to take a nap, but you got to fix the bike, treasures in heaven. Whatever it is, treasures in heaven. There will be no treasures in hell. But hell is a reality. And you might be here this morning and you might have a loved one who you're not sure where they're at. And so a message like this can leave you a little bit unsettled. I want to encourage you with a couple of things. I want to encourage you that in the same way, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart, and it's actually the belief of our heart and the attitudes of our heart that help us lay up treasure in heaven and even get there. So it is with hell. It's the heart attitude more it is than the actions or the words. And you might have whatever, I don't know, loved ones, let's just lump it all under one umbrella. Someone who you really care about, and you don't know whether they're going to heaven or hell. I want to encourage you with the awesome grace of God. I want to encourage you with the fact is the reality. See, Paul said it this way: no man knows what's going on in the heart of another man except that man. And it's true. You don't know what's going on in the hearts of those who you love, and maybe the outward package don't look that good, but recognize that there's can be things going on the inside. Recognize that there could be something that goes on the inside in the last moment of life. Amen. You know who I find great hope in this subject? The thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus. You've got two pictures of two thieves, you know, and we don't know that much about them, but we know they were rascals. We know they must have been pretty rascally rascals to be worthy of the death that they experienced. And you've got one that in that situation hardens his heart and curses Jesus. And you've got another one in that situation who recognizes who Jesus is and pleads to him. And Jesus, in that second, offers that man forgiveness and makes a promise to him, a promise to heaven, you could say. Amazing. And you and I have experienced that, and that is cause for joy right there. You might remember that the ruler comes to Jesus and, you know, says, I've done all this, blah, 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 striving, performance. And Jesus says, well, good. Sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And we know that the rich young ruler walked away a very unhappy camper because he was very rich and probably, we don't know, but probably didn't do what Jesus told him to do. I bet he wished he wouldn't ask. Because he was trying to put on display in front of Jesus, God, and all the people how amazingly righteous he was. And God beat him. Jesus beat him at his own game, so to speak. I don't recommend you go home and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, by the way. I'm not gonna. Just telling you. But I think I would if the Lord told me. But I'm not asking. I'm not asking. I'm just preaching. Come on now. Cut me a slack here. So you and I have an inheritance in heaven. It's a reality. And we have the ability to lay up treasure in heaven. And again, it's just through being who we are, following the voice of the shepherd to the best of our ability. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. A couple months ago when we had opportunity to preach, we talked about the marriage between joy and trials. And I said at that time, and I'll say it again, it almost seems cruel to encourage someone who finds themselves in difficult situations. It feels cruel to say, oh, and while you're at it, smile. But I have found this. Those who dig in to the Lord Jesus Christ and into this message that we're talking about this morning, in and during trials, do have a smile on their face. And they become like a neon sign to those around them. It's like, how do you do this? And the answer is Jesus. There may be some of you who this morning hear, you know, the scripture used the word grief. Some of you may be in grief this morning for whatever reason. There's lots of reasons. But there's Jesus. And there's a confidence and there's an ability to press past all of that and to recognize that I've been blessed with an abundant mercy and that I have a heavenly home awaiting me and that I'm yet... And see, I personally believe that when we walk through difficulties and keeping our eyes on Jesus and staying in a place of faith, I believe we're laying up treasures in heaven. It's part of the process. The next verse tells us that, it tells us, and we don't like this either, and it might seem kind of cruel, but the scripture tells us that all of this is happening so that our faith is tested. Say what? Yes. Our faith is being tested to see whether it's genuine or not. We got to read that again. That must be a misprint. What you talking about, Willis? In this you greatly rejoice. That took some of you back several years. And some of you are like, what? Who's Willis? I'm not telling you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revealing or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Kept by the power of God. It's easy to be kept by the power of God when everything's going well. It's not so easy to be kept by the power of God when it's not going so well. It simply takes putting a trust in Him. I don't know if you caught it or not, but this whole section really is about faith and about the goal of our faith, which we're going to get to in a minute. Most people who like to preach on faith don't like to talk about suffering. But the Bible does constantly. If you're here this morning and you have a sense that if you have enough faith, you can avoid life, good luck. And it's not that anybody, it's not that God is out to get you. It's not, it's just that life happens. Doo-doo does develop. But it is always an opportunity, and it never originates with God, but He's able to work it together for good. And it's always an opportunity to grow in our relationship with Him. You might know someone who goes through trials and has a smile on their face, and you might wonder, what are they on? Jesus? They're growing, and Jesus is becoming something to them that he's never been before. And they're being kept by the power of God, and it's a power that had they not gone through that, they would not have known. And it's a side of God that they would not have known. And they understand a little bit better what God said to Abraham, I will be your exceeding and your great reward. Abraham had all these promises. He had Isaac. He had the land. He had the wealth. He had the impacting nations. But above all that, he had a greater reward than all that, and it was God himself. And he had relationship with him. I don't know if you've caught it yet or not, but God is crazy about you. And he loves to spend time with you. We heard about it sung prophetically this morning. We experienced it to a degree. I want to encourage you that you can experience that same preciousness in the privacy of your own home or car or whatever. God is looking for people who will put a demand on him, and I don't mean a demand like a spoiled brat, but I mean a demand like a restful pulling and drawing on him. And in that presence and in that relationship, I guess what you're going to find? You're going to find a tree with fruit on it. And you can pick the fruit. And one of the fruit is joy. And you can pick it and you can choose it and you can consume it. And it's not because you have joy, it's because you've been given it. While I was preparing for this message, the Lord gave me an impression of a picture, and I saw that tree. But it was unique. The fruit was at about eye level, but it was inverted, and its roots were not in earth, it was in heaven. It didn't go from the earth up, it came from heaven down. And its roots and everything it pulled from was from heaven. And it was a heavenly tree. On earth or in heaven. Yeah. Kept by the power of God. Verse 7. We'll read that again. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're going through some things, I just want to encourage you. Find joy in God. Not in the situation or the circumstances, but find joy in the person of God himself. To those of you, many of you already know this, who are widows, he promises to be a husband. Amen. To those of you who have lost a parent, he promises to be a father. And we could go on and on down the line. And we can find a joy in him. In this, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, it perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Some translations say receiving the goal of your faith. Here it is. There's the goal of your faith right there. The salvation of your soul. I believe that we need to, again, find a great joy and peace and satisfaction in the saving of our soul. Yeah. I really do. I believe that in times when we are so rich. And Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. And I'm not saying we're not going to heaven. I'm saying it's hard for us to appreciate heaven because we have so many other wells to drink at. And we have so many, you know, there is this tree who is rooted in heaven, but we have so many other trees that we can eat from. And they're not bad trees, they're good trees. They're just not God trees. And they don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. See, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it belongs to the Spirit, capital S. The joy that we've been talking about is not something I ever initiate. I can cultivate it. I can partake of it. I can receive it. But it does not come from me. It comes from Him. It does not come from my wife, as in love as I am with her. It comes from Him. But we eat together from that tree. Party. I'm just saying. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Do you remember when Jesus sent out the 12? It's recorded in Luke chapter 10 and in a few of the other Gospels. Jesus sends out the 12 and He gives them power over the enemy to cast out demons and heal the sick. And they come back and they are pumped because it worked. And they're just revivalized, and they say, Jesus, even the demons were subject to us. And He said, yeah, I know. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I've given you power over the enemy to trample on scorpions, and I've given you this power. But then He says, nevertheless, don't rejoice that you have power over the enemy. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And my exhortation to you this morning is, see, if we're really honest, we're always looking for a spiritual high. Some of us, I'll own this. Some of us started devotions at one point in our life, and it was, oh, so precious. Oh, and for some of you, that preciousness has waned, and there's days when it's not as precious as it was 2 days ago, and it's like, oh, where'd it go? Can I encourage you? Just keep devoting. Amen. Amen. You're laying up treasures in heaven.
That's right.
You're building something. If I ask any of you what you had, say, last Wednesday for supper, most of you might not remember. Some of you may. But it doesn't matter that you remember. It still did you good. You're not dead. It sustained you. And so it is in time with God or whatever it is. And we need to be careful because we can press for the high instead of for the God of the high. Even in worship, we need to be really careful because sometimes we go, oh, that was an awesome time of worship. Well, what do you mean? Do you mean the lighting was just right and the song selection was just right and the sound system was just right and the kids were decent? What do you mean? Or it can be with serving, like it was for the disciples. It's like, oh, the demons are subject to us. Well, that's wonderful, but be careful. There's a high that's, you know, what's the old saying? There's no high like the Most High. And there's a high that comes out of time with my Father and cultivating time with Him, even in those days when it's a bit dry. If you're here this morning and you never have a dry time with God, God bless you. But us preachers do. And don't misunderstand me. It's not that time with God isn't precious. But we do need to come to understanding that it isn't about the thrills and the chills always. It's about persistence and it's about time with Him. Some of you may be here this morning and feel like you're not sure if you're even saved anymore. Give God time. You're being kept by the power of God. You have received an inheritance that is incorruptible, reserved in heaven. There's always the old question, can you lose your salvation? Oh, I can't believe he brought that up. I can't either, but personally, I don't think you can because you weren't going to work that hard at losing it, I mean. You'd have to work really, really hard. There's an incorruptible seed that's germinating in you and in me. And it has with it all the life and all the promise of heaven. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning for the salvation of our souls. We thank you for the reality and the promise of heaven. Thank you for your desire to grow in deeper relationship with us, and we thank you for the invitation that we received even this morning through two prophetic words and through prophetic songs to draw near to you. Father, we ask you that this message and these scriptures would resonate in our spirits in the week to come, and that you would call us to a place. As is written by this, in this same letter, by the way, and I don't have time to get to it, but I guess I am. Chapter 3, verse 15, in Peter's exhortation to the people is, he says, therefore, sanctify the Lord in your heart. We talk much about the sanctifying power of God in our life, but we have a power to sanctify Him, to set Him apart in our lives. So, Father, we do sanctify. Just put your hands up. Father, we do this morning just sanctify you in our hearts. A new and a fresh commitment to find joy in you. To find joy in the work of Jesus Christ. To find joy in the reality of the salvation of our soul. To find joy in the reality and promise of heaven. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.